Dear Father, I thank you so much for this new lovely morning, this lovely time of year. Thank you that your mercies are new every morning. We surely need your mercies. And I do just ask that you would meet with us this morning, that you would teach us, that you would make yourself known, that we might love you and that we might serve you, follow after you, that we might be more like Jesus. I do ask for your blessing on this time, and I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so last week, we actually wrapped up Genesis chapter 3, which was a great milestone, including our first study on the creation account. We've done 42 lessons together in Genesis. So you've suffered through 42 lessons. We should have three more lessons to go to get through the end of chapter 4. And I want to take just a real quick turbo glance backwards. Give me a one-sentence summary or one-verse summary. Genesis chapter 1, what's it about? What's that? Yeah, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, right? That's Genesis chapter 1. That's the most important verse in the Bible and the foundation for everything else. Moses used the name Elohim in Genesis chapter 1. It really, it pictures the majestic God of creation, Elohim, who made everything that exists in six literal days, and indeed it was very good, right? Chapter 2 opens with a description of the seventh day, the day of rest, day to celebrate completed work, the completed work of creation. And then what happens in chapter 2? Right. So it focuses in on day 6, the latter half of day 6, in the creation of man and woman. Right. We have a different designation, a different name for God. Do you remember what it is? It's Yahweh Elohim, the Lord God. So you still have that majestic God of creation, but it includes his personal covenant name. It's more personal. It denotes a closer connection with mankind, with us creatures created in his image. We see God as, what do we see God? What's the primary thing we see from God in chapter 2? We see him as a gracious, abundant provider, right? That's one of the themes, is just the lavish provision of God, of Yahweh Elohim in chapter 2. Chapter 3, what's going on in chapter 3? The fall, right. The paradise lost, right? The lovely paradise that we learned about in chapter 2 comes crashing and burning down as mankind rebels against the commandment, disobeys the commandment of God. Chapter 3 really tells us why there's suffering and misery on earth. It's because we've rebelled. Our first parents rebelled against God. The creation was very good, and we rebelled. And that's why we are where we are today. What do we see from God even, well, what do we learn about God in chapter 3? Just real brief summary. Yeah, he's just, right? He judges sin. There's consequences for disobedience. But his judgment, he immediately begins making provision for restoration. So chapter 3, there's paradise lost, but there's hope. There's hope for restoration. There's hope that God will accomplish restoration in the seed of the woman. And that brings us to chapter 4. That's where we're starting today. And that is the last chapter in this division of Genesis. This division of Genesis began in chapter 2, verse 4. It's called the account or the generations of the heavens and the earth. So we're beginning the last part of this division of Genesis. And chapter 4 divides really nicely into three sections. The first section, verses 1 through 16, it tells us the familiar story of Cain and Abel. We learn about the way of Cain. It's a portrait of a murderer, a man who refused to heed the Lord God's encouragement and warning, and consequently he fell into gross sin and came under God's judgment. Second section, verses 17 through 24, it tells us about the progress of civilization, and in particular, the progress of Cain's descendants. It culminates with Lamech. Lamech is a very profane and wicked man. And what's really remarkable about the progress of civilization in 17 through 24, it's the progress of Cain's line. It's a wicked line, but they prosper. They really do remarkable things. They accomplish remarkable things, and we'll look at that as we go through that section of the chapter. And then finally, the third section is the very end, verses 25 and 26. It shows us a new beginning for the godly line, right? Cain's line of descent would not lead to the Messiah. It's disqualified. But chapter 4 ends on a hopeful note as another son, another seed is born to Adam and Eve. So we're going to begin our study by reading the first section, chapter 4, verses 1 through 16. And this section is titled The Way of Cain. And this passage is going to reveal at least 14 different facets of Cain's character. And don't panic, I hope to cover 7 of them this morning. So could somebody please read chapter 4, verses 1 through 16?
Now the man had relations with his wife Eve, and she conceived and gave birth to Cain. And she said, I have gotten a man-child with the help of the Lord. Again, she gave birth to his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of the flock, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. So it came about in the course of time that Cain brought an offering to the Lord of the fruit of the ground. Abel on his part also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and for his offering. But for Cain and for his offering, he had no regard. So Cain became very angry, and his countenance fell. Then the Lord came to Cain, why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door, and its desire is for you. But you must master it. Cain told Abel his brother, and it came about when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel, your brother? And he said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground. Now you are cursed from the ground, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you cultivate the ground, it will no longer yield its strength to you. You will be a vagrant and a wanderer on the earth. Cain said to the Lord, my punishment is too great to bear. Behold, you have driven me this day from the face of the ground, and from your face I will be hidden. And I will be a vagrant and a wanderer on the earth, and whoever finds me will kill me. So the Lord said to him, therefore, whoever kills Cain, vengeance will be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord appointed a sign for Cain, so that no one finding him would slay him. Then Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and settled in the land of Nod, east of Eden.
Thank you very much. I almost broke in and had Susan read.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. Susan, can you come back next week? Because we're going to be reading that again. No? Okay. One big picture concern I want to just point out, it's the name used for God. In chapter 1, we have Elohim, the majestic God of creation. In chapters 2 and 3, it's Yahweh Elohim, or Lord God. And it just, that designation includes God's personal covenant name, Yahweh, or I Am. How about in chapter 4? What do we see? Yahweh, just Yahweh, right. It emphasizes God's nature as a personal covenant-keeping God. He is a God who reaches down and redeems sinners. And that's really an emphasis. It's a slight change in emphasis. It's significant, though. Comments? Okay. Our big talkers, Joe McCain and Derek, and you guys are just going to have to step up. You high school people over there, you can talk. Megan, Jackie. okay. Yes. Yes. It is remarkable, and that scripture is like that. The scripture narrative is so rich, so packed with meaning, and it's great. Good point. So let's begin with verse 1. Now the man had relations with his wife Eve, and she conceived and gave birth to Cain. And she said, I've gotten a man-child with the help of the Lord. So the man had relations with his wife. Some translations say, now the man, or Adam, knew his wife Eve. And it's knew is actually a more literal translation. And he knew by means of a sexual relation, right? She became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. So Cain is the first child born to the human race, and we have the first human family now. Does anybody know what the name Cain means in Hebrew? Yes. It's possession. Possession is there could be a translation that says he is here also. What I got from the Blue Letter Bible is possession, that she, Eve, proclaimed, I've received a possession. gotten. Yes. Yep. Right. So Eve makes a joyful proclamation. I've gotten a man-child with the help of the Lord. That with the help of is added by the translators. But Eve's statement literally, I've gotten a man with the Lord. And man is Ish. I've gotten Ish. It's not the Adam. It's that Ish, Ish and Isha that we saw at the end of chapter 2. Her statement is considered an expression of faith. How so? I'm sorry, go ahead. Yes, exactly right. It's an implicit expression of faith. That she's had a child. The child is from the Lord, and it, perhaps she believed that Cain would be the one to crush the serpent's head. We don't know, but it's along the lines of God's fulfilled promise to her. Um, when Eve says, I've gotten a man-child with the help of the Lord, or I've gotten a man-child with the Lord, what is she recognizing about children? Bang, right? Yes, yes, exactly, right. It's God's sovereign in the in the giving of children. God designated a means, which is the you know, the sexual relationship between a husband and wife, but it's God himself who creates life in the womb. And it's not some random biological process that developed over millions of years, billions of years by chance. It is an intentional act of God according to his timing, purpose, and will. So, comments, questions? Yes.
I don't think that any of us have this issue, but knowing that, regardless of what the science might tell you, that you need to be that child, still a child of life, given by God, it doesn't matter if it has potential for this, you know, handicap or whatever, it's still a life.
Absolutely right. Right. Created by God, important to God. Yes, yes, absolutely. In his image. verse 2. Again, she gave birth to his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of flocks, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm going to go back. In our portrait of Cain, that first verse gives us two facts. He was firstborn of mankind, and he had a very hopeful beginning, right? Eve was, that's number one and number two, firstborn and had a hopeful beginning. Eve expressed her great joy at the birth of Cain. So again, she gave birth to his brother Abel. Abel was a keeper of flocks, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. So second child is born to the first couple. This one's named Abel. Does anybody know what Abel means? Abel means breath or vapor or breeze. It's it may be a reference to his very short life. But Psalm 144 verse 4 says, man is like a mere breath. His days are like a passing shadow, and Abel's life was particularly brief. What were the brothers' occupations? Yeah, keeper of of flocks and a tiller of the ground. So the third thing we see in the portrait of Cain, he was a tiller of the ground, right? And the brothers had different occupations, but both occupations were honorable. We know from God's judgment in chapter 3 that man would be required to work the ground, hard to get food. So Cain's occupation would have been very critically important for providing food. Abel's occupation, critically important as well. People were probably not yet eating meat at this point. The animals were given as food after the flood when they came off the ark. At this point, probably they were not eating meat, but what would animals have been important for? Okay. All right, I heard. Yep. Yep, sacrifice, certainly. Right, right. And work. Right, you hook up to an ox and you till the ground, right? They assist us in our work. And what's that? Oh, companionship, sure. Yep. You little pet, an animal guy. Fleece, yes, right. I'm sorry, fleece, not fleas, but fleece, right. Right, and skins too, probably. You know, the first coverings were with the skins. We have this picture in our mind, I do anyway, of Cain and Abel wearing hides. I don't know if that's the case. They may have had wool covering, I don't know, but their coverings were probably animal fabrics. Yep, whether that was hide or wool or whatever it may have been. So both occupations were honorable, both were critically important. let's look at verse 3. So it came about in the course of time that Cain brought an offering to the Lord of the fruit of the ground. So there's a question that jumps out at the beginning of verse 3. So it came about in the course of time. How much time? How old were these? How old were these men? How old were Cain and Abel? Any thoughts? What, and why do you say that? Why? Yep. Yeah. Yep. So teenagers, at least. Any other thoughts? They had occupations, right? They one was a keeper of flocks and a tiller of the ground, so they had occupations. So they were likely at least young adults. Yep. How about the upper end? Hundreds of years old. What's the upper limit here? Any thoughts? Yep. Yep. Okay. They were at the age of understanding. Yep. Yep. Certainly. So scripture actually gives us an upper limit for their age. If we go to chapter 5, verse 3, could somebody please read that? Right. And Seth was born after Cain had killed Abel. So they were somewhere between 16 and 130. Which is, well, for us, that's a really broad range. But when you're living till 950 years old, they were just kids. You know, that's really in the early part of their expected lifespan when this all happened. Okay. And what did Cain bring as an offering? Yeah, of the fruit of the ground. So Cain was a tiller of the ground, and he brought of the fruit of the ground. Makes sense, right? He brought an offering from his occupation. So so number 4 in the portrait of Cain, Cain brought an offering to the Lord. Did I give you number 3? Okay, so number 4, Cain brought an offering to the Lord. So at least outwardly, he was a worshiper of God, right? He at least had a relationship or a desire for a relationship with the Lord. You know, he wasn't an atheist, and he wasn't yet living in the land of Nod away from the Lord's presence. So verse 4, Abel on his part brought of the firstlings of his flocks and of their fat portions, and the Lord had regard for Abel and for his offering. What did Abel bring? And what does it say? And, right. So, what's the difference in the description of the two offerings, Cain versus Abel?
Well, if you go to Leviticus, grain offerings were not acceptable for a sin offering.
Yeah, but this is not necessarily a sin offering. Some commentators are adamant that the problem with Cain's offering was that it was not a blood offering. But I think it's really hard to prove that from scripture, that you know there were both blood offerings and grain offerings in scripture, and there's nothing in this passage that would lead us to conclude that the problem was that it was not a blood offering. You know, both of those offerings were acceptable, but there's something else going on here. Yep. Yep. Go ahead, Russ.
We have to speculate a lot in Genesis
Yeah, and it's possible, but it's not not necessarily so. It's hard to prove that from this passage. They both made an offering from their occupation, which right. You're jumping right ahead, but we are going to get right to that. Yes. Abel brought firstlings of his, yes.
Yeah, I was going to say it shows that Abel has a high view of God.
Yep, and that's manifest in obedience. Yes, Chris. I think both were acceptable, though. The ground was cursed in that he would have to work the ground. The ground, there was nothing evil about the ground, but the ground was not going to bring forth food unless they worked it hard, you know. I don't know that their offering was cursed there, that his offering was cursed.
All creation was cursed.
Yep, go ahead. Yeah, would... Yeah, and that. Yeah, and we see that, right? That comes forth in the descriptions of the offerings. Cain's offering is nondescript. He gave some fruit of the ground. Abel's offering is clearly, he gave the best, right? Abel offered the most excellent animals in his flock. He offered the fat portion or the choicest part. You know, Cain's offering was undistinguished. Abel's was the best of the best. And what was the Lord's evaluation of Abel's offering? And the Lord had... Four. Right. That very, very important that it's literally he looked at or took notice of Abel and his offering. But it wasn't just the offering that the Lord took notice of, right? What else? It was Abel, right. The Lord had regard for Abel, his offering. It's no mistake that Abel's name is first, right? The God's regard was primarily for Abel. The offering was secondary. Abel was not made acceptable by his offering. He was not made acceptable by the good work. It was Abel that made the offering acceptable. And we'll look at in a minute what was distinguished about Abel. But let's jump ahead to verse 5. But for Cain and for his offering, he had no regard. So Cain became very angry and his countenance fell. So what was the Lord's evaluation of Cain and his offering? Right, he didn't look upon it or take notice of Cain and his offering. The offering was not acceptable. And once again, the offering is secondary. It's Cain. His name was listed first. Cain was not acceptable, right? And so number 5 in our portrait, Cain and his offering were rejected by the Lord. Yes?
It would appear that it's at least implied that Cain and Abel knew what an acceptable
that
and it was Cain's choice to not make an acceptable sacrifice.
It's, you are absolutely correct. It is implied there that they knew what it was acceptable and they were well able to provide what was acceptable. And they did not, well, Cain did not. But what what was it that characterized Abel and his offering that was lacking in Cain and his offering? What was the difference?
Are you going to Hebrews 11?
Yes. Yes, go. So, no, go ahead.
Well, it says, by faith, Abel, or Hebrews 1:4, by faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained testimony to be righteous.
Keep going.
God testified by his gift and his faith, so he is dead.
Right. It's faith. It was faith. That's the difference. Romans 4:3 says, Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness, right? Both men, Cain and Abel, were children of Adam. They were both sinners. But Abel believed the Lord and it was his faith was credited to him as righteousness. Abel, his faith was manifest in obedience. He approached the Lord according to the Lord's requirements. He offered an offering as the Lord had required. Cain did not have faith. You know, we see that clearly from the contrast set up in Hebrews 11:4. His lack of faith was manifest in disobedience. He didn't approach the Lord according to the Lord's requirements. Whatever they may have been, it doesn't spell out exactly what that was. But what do we call it when someone tries to approach God on their own terms? What do we call that?
Self-righteousness?
Yes. Yeah, that's one thing we call it. Good one. What kind of religion? Well, religion's not a bad word per se. False religion. We call it false religion. Right, false religion. Cain lacked faith and he practiced false religion, right? He tried to approach the Lord, but not according to the Lord's requirements. That's Cain. So what do we see Cain's character revealed immediately in his response. How did he respond? Yeah, he became very angry, right? And the Hebrew term for very angry, it's a really intense term. It describes very intense emotions. The English doesn't quite capture it. Cain was exceedingly hot or furious. He was enraged. He was fit to be tied. You know, Cain was beside himself with rage. So the next thing, number six, that we see in the portrait of Cain, he became furious at the Lord when he and his offering were rejected. Well, but who was what was the offense? What was the initial offense? Yeah, it was God's regard. His rage was at the Lord for the rejection, which was redirected to he can't kill God, but he can sure kill his brother, and he can offend God by killing this brother of his created in God's image. But the original offense was the rejection of him and his offering. God did not look upon it, you know. Does that make sense? Yeah. So he became furious with the Lord when he and his offering were rejected. What does it mean his countenance fell? He's pouting. Yeah, that's a pretty good description. I've seen my children's countenance fall a time or two. Right? Megan? No? She says no, it never happened. Must have been your other siblings. Yeah, his rage eventually is directed at his brother. But the original trigger. Yeah, do you think he was thinking that?
No, I don't think he was thinking
at all. Because we will get into that. It probably won't be this week, though. You're just going to have to listen online. But yes, the sin, Cain did have a chance to repent. He received encouragement and warning from the Lord, and he chose to ignore those things. Rather than master sin as he was encouraged to do, he let the sin master him. But his countenance fell. He was pouting. This anger was very visible on his face. Maybe his physical, whatever it was. But you could see it a mile away. Cain was really upset. And did Cain accept responsibility for his rejected offering? No, absolutely not. Right? Just who else was like that? Who else? Adam and Eve, right. He's just like his parents, right? That woman, or that serpent. The serpent deceived me. It wasn't my fault, right? That he does not accept responsibility, right? So number 7 in our portrait of Cain. Cain did not accept responsibility for his rejection. How should Cain have responded to the Lord's rejection? What should he have done? What's that? Repented. That's right on the list. Yes. Right. What else? Yes. He did not do that, right? He didn't recognize his own disobedience and failure. He just became enraged. Yeah, should have acted with humility. He should have repented. He should have sought forgiveness, sought restoration, and he should have offered an acceptable offering, which he clearly had the means and the knowledge to do, right? So we're running ahead of schedule today. I'm just about wrapped up. We don't ask. Doesn't usually work that way, but go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, we're not given every single detail in this morning so far, but based on what we understand from God's word and history, God's not pleased with the animal itself, the heart of the mind.
Right. Yep. Yeah. Right. So. Right. Yeah. Exactly. Right. The problem was Cain's heart, and whether that had to do with a blood offering versus not a blood offering, or it's hard to prove that it was the blood offering versus the offering of the fruit of the ground. But the problem clearly was in Cain's heart, Right. Could have been a thank offering. Right. yeah, could have been thank offering, could have been a first fruits offering. You know, who knows? Right, right. So what did we learn the way of Cain? What's number one? Firstborn, right? Number two? Yeah, hopeful beginning. Number three? Yep, tiller of the ground. Number four? He made an offering, right? Right. Number five? What's that? For five, I have his offering was rejected. Number six? Yep, became enraged. Yeah, furious with the Lord. And number seven? Yeah, didn't accept responsibility. So we've got a developing portrait of Cain, developing portrait of an unrepentant sinner. What we're going to learn from the way of Cain, what's the lesson? There will be seven more facets of his character we'll see next study, but what's one of the lessons here? You said it in our study. Thank you. Don't be like Cain, right? Right, right. And you and we create this image of God in our mind that's not scriptural, right? It's God is love. He would never judge anybody. And well, open scripture and see that's not the God that's not how he describes himself, Henry. Yep. 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 Certainly God's sovereign in all these things. Yep. Jason, were you going to? Right. He certainly did, and we'll delve into that a little bit more next time when we look at the rest of this passage. But yeah, God gave Cain every opportunity. He exercised much mercy and grace and long suffering, and Cain hardened his heart. He rejected the Lord's encouragement. He rejected the Lord's warnings. And we see where that led him. What do we learn about God here in this passage? He is a judge, right? Right. He is a merciful judge. Yes. Yep. But God does judge, right? He makes distinctions. And we approach the Lord on his terms. It is so important, right? He sets the standard, not us. And what's the obvious gospel application here? Go ahead, Chris. Yeah. I mean, we have one way. God's told us what it is. It's in Jesus Christ. There is no other way. Right. Right. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Right? That's what God has revealed, and that is the only way. And we see that right here developing in this passage. We come to God on his terms, or we are rejected. So, yes. Right. 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 Yep. We want to be on the throne, right? We want to be in charge. And we've been warned, haven't we? That's one thing that you're doing out in the streets, right? You're warning. Yep. It's a work that he accomplishes in us, right? Were you going to say something there? Yeah. And scripture says, and these are the works of God, that you believe in him whom he sent. Yes, Freddie. Right. We learn more about Abel in the New Testament in like the passage of that we read today from Hebrews 11:4. Yep. Yeah, we see that immediately developing in this passage that conflict between light and darkness, between righteousness and unrighteousness. It's between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. This conflict ongoing that we experience, we see it right here. You know, we see that beginning to develop. Okay, I think that we are ready for prayer requests. And can somebody run with the microphone? Thanks, Joe. Let's certainly remember the McCains. Anybody know how far the McCains have made it so far? Virginia? Overnight, and then are they going straight to Florida from there? Or? Oh. Gotcha. So certainly pray for safety and travel. I know if I can travel about 10 miles before I'm having a hard time staying awake. So, you know, let's certainly pray for them, especially if they're not even getting a hotel, that, you know, that's difficult. And I've got my two oldest brothers are both very sick. My oldest brother, Ernie, he's in Mass General. He is having a heart procedure, a very risky heart procedure, and it should be this coming week. And just, you know, pray that that procedure would go well, that God would sustain his life. He's not a believer, so that he would believe. You know, I've had a chance to speak with him of the gospel, but I hope I get more chances, and just that he would hear and he would repent and believe. My other brother, Alfred. I'm Albert, he's Alfred. In our family, he's Al, and I am Bert. But anyway, my brother, Alfred, he has cancer, and it's stage 4. And his outlook is not good. And he's in the hospital, and, you know, whether he gets out of the hospital or not, is we don't know. But he claims to be a believer. I'm not convinced that he is, but, you know, please pray that I'd have more opportunity to speak with him, to speak the gospel to him, and that he would believe. So, all right. Anything else? Thanks. Oh, I'm sorry, Sherry Ann. Microphone coming your way.
I'm sorry. Most of you already know I have Lyme disease. There are times when it's inactive, but right now it's kicked up really badly. I'm doing a lot of sleeping, but I'm not getting any more than maybe an hour and a half sleep at a time. I promise not to go to sleep in church. I'm thankful to be here today. Very thankful.
We're thankful that you're here and you're playing for us this morning.
Yes, and this evening.
What a blessing.
For me, that it's a blessing for me because it's my gift to God. I mean, yes, all you get to listen in, but that's where my gift is. He gave me the ability when I was very young, and I'm very thankful for that.
Yeah, and a great blessing to us too.
Pray for this man named Jag at Portsmouth. Memorable because he started off pretty hostile, very arrogant, and he made a mention that God is going to give an account to him. And I said, I can guarantee you that's not going to happen. And then he started to soften up after that. It was pretty remarkable to watch. And so we were able to share more truth with him on Thursday, I think it was. Jag is his name.
Was that, Chris, was that in Market Square?
Yes, downtown.
Yep, gotcha.
Yeah, pray for Marina. She got sick last Sunday when she lost her voice. Her voice is mostly back, but she still got horrible cough, lots of mucus, and lots of discharge from her eyes.
Okay.
An update on our daughter, Linda. She did have the procedure operation Friday. They removed part of the mastoid bone and closed up the hole in her eardrum. Everything seems to be going well. She doesn't have any more pain from the infection. They are continuing the antibiotics probably for another week, but she's expecting to go home Monday. She must be getting better because she's bored out of her mind.
What hospital?
Mass Eye and Ear.
Okay.
It's definitely a praise.
Okay. All right. If there are no more requests, let's pray for Susan and safe travel getting home. And, yep.
Father, we thank you again for this beautiful morning and seasons. We're just grateful that we can come to you just confidently and asking for these, lifting these prayers up to you, Lord. We thank you again for Susan being here this morning with us, and what a blessing that is. We ask that you would help her with the all the plans, the arrangements she's doing this today, and just pray that you would make everything go through smoothly, and that everything would work well for her, Lord, as she's here. Pray, Lord, that you would also bless this day for her, and also that you would give her safe travels home as well. We also want to lift up safe travels for the McCains as they travel down to Florida for their journey there. And Lord, it's just a new life. And Lord, we pray that you would keep them both alert. And Lord, that you would give them whenever opportunity they have to get some rest, that you would fully give them rest. And Lord, just bring their journey there safely, Lord. And we ask that you would continue to watch over them as they travel, Lord. And Father, we also want to lift up Al's brothers, one who is going through a heart procedure, and Lord, that it would go well, and Lord, most importantly, for his salvation, Lord, we ask that you would use this situation right now with his life, Lord, that you would cause his heart to really think, Lord, that your spirit will convict him, that he would turn to you, Lord, for answers in his life. And Lord, we know that he's heard it before, and Lord, maybe at this point in time, we ask that you would use whatever means, Lord, for Al or whatever, to really change his heart, that you would save him, Father. And also for his other brother, Alfred, that you would also the same situation, Lord, but yet this is more serious because of the cancer. But you know that you know exactly what he's going through, Lord. We ask that you would have this opportunity to give up others opportunities to share the gospel, especially for Al, that you would give him the ability to meet with him again, to share the gospel to him again, Lord, that we know that every second of his life is an opportunity for him to repent. And Lord, we ask that you would grant it to him, Lord. We also want to lift up Sherry Ann, that you would just thank you for the blessing she is to us, Lord, for what you have given her, the gift of playing the piano here this morning. And Lord, we know that she's dealing with just the chronic pain with the disease. But Lord, we know that that you would continue to just give her strength and sustain her, Lord. And Father, we ask that you would remove that pain that she has from the disease, if it's your will, Lord. But Father, we just again thank you for her just confidence in you and putting her faith in you in every day. Lord, we also ask that you would give her sleep when she's sleeping and not and having just the difficulty of waking up, that you would allow her to sleep well, Lord. And Lord, again, thank you again for blessing her with the ability to come here this morning and being able to play. Father, we also want to lift up this person, Jag, at Portsmouth. Thank you for Chris just allowing to, using him to share the gospel to him again. And Lord, that you're working in his heart. It seems as though that it has really affected him, Lord, and he's really thinking. And Lord, we ask that you would change his heart, that you would save him, that you would that he would repent from all that he has gone through in his life and turn to you, and Lord, that you would save him. And Lord, we also lift up Marina and being sick, and that you would heal her, Lord, quickly, that she'll be able to recover and regain her strength. And Lord, that she'll be able to come to church again, Lord, and Lord, be able to worship. And Lord, we know that, that not only we miss her, but we also know that she misses coming here as well. And Lord, we just ask that you would heal her and regain her health back quickly, Father. And we also want to lift up Linda and just a praise and a thanks to you, Lord, for watching over her through this difficult trial and of sickness she's been dealing with the infection. And Lord, we just thank you for the fact that the procedure went well and everything is going according to what the doctors have hoped, Lord, and everyone that has hoped. And we thank you. It is all in your hands. And we just thank you and give you all the thanks and praise for that. And Lord, we ask that you would heal her quickly and that she would return home soon, Father. And with that, we just thank you again for Al being able to share the word to us about your work, your creation, and the work that you have done, your mercy. And Lord, we thank you for that. And we ask and for these things. We lift these all up to you in your son's name. Amen.
I'd like to add one more.
All right.
Again, I want to thank God so much. Chris was able to get a med that we thought he was not.